This is Frank Prattle with Zephyr, and I'm live here with Justin Giarla from The Shooting Factory and Jennifer McCabe from New Langton Arts. Wiz, can you hear me out there?
I'm right here, babe. I'll go out in a minute.
Okay. you guys just want to do a little preliminary introduction, who you are and what you do?
Absolutely. I'm Jennifer McCabe. I'm the assistant director at New Langton Arts, located on Folsom Street.
Okay. And I am Justin Giarla of The Shooting Gallery, and I've owned it and curate for 3.5 years.
Sounds good. Do you, just for the listening audience's purposes, do you guys have websites that you want to share?
NewLangtonArts.org, NewLangtonArts.org.
And shootinggallerysf.com, whitewallssf.com, and 9mmbooks.com.
9mm books?
Correct.
All right. So let's just start out, you know, with some basic stuff. Jennifer, you guys at New Langton have a pretty cool project going right now with 5 different curators coming in. What's going on with that?
It's called 5 Habitats Squatting at Langton. So we have a summer full of 25 artists inhabiting a space. We invited an architect whose name is Q Che to design 5 unique spaces in the gallery. Really organic shapes, very much playing with the idea of a white cube of a gallery. And then we invited 5 well-known artists and curators to in turn invite 5 more emerging artists. So every week we have 5 new artists coming into the space, some squatting, some not squatting. It's great, super energetic, a lot of performance, a lot of installation, music, audio. It's random.
It's pretty crazy. I've been there.
It's pretty crazy. The artists have one day to install, one day to deinstall, and we have openings.
Wow.
Every Tuesday night from 7 to 10.
How's your mental sanity?
I'm holding. I'm holding in there.
Week 2, you're all right.
We're about going in to help deinstall tomorrow, which is Sunday. I'm just on the 7-day work week right now.
Yes. A modern American miracle.
But the architect has been there the entire time. He's been really great. So I stopped by the gallery today, and he was there taking photos and catching up with what's been going on all week. It's been a lot of fun.
Cool. Justin, what about the show at the Shooting Gallery right now?
Right now, the show at the Shooting Gallery is a group show with 6 female artists that are up-and-coming emerging artists that I think are going to be doing really well in the next couple years. And it's all paintings.
Who do you got?
Natalie Fabia, Lisa Petrucci, Sharon Leong, Corinne Fout, Andrea Tucker, and Lisa. Yep. Not from the Cult Jam.
Mind you. And just for the listening audience as well, you're connected to another gallery called White Walls that's run by who?
That's also mine.
Okay.
Yeah, I co-own White Walls with my business partner, Andreas Guerrero, and then I own the Shooting Gallery by myself.
Okay.
Yeah, but so they're technically separate galleries, even though they're kind of joined at the hip, and we kind of run it like one big, huge, you know, brain trust. They are technically separate. The format at White Walls is predominantly street art or artists that used to do street art that are now doing fine art paintings or fine art painters that have elements of street art in their work.
Right.
And then Shooting Gallery is still the same old kind of lowbrow, pop surrealism, alternative, juxtapose art.
Okay. And Jennifer, with New Langton Arts, do you guys tend to be more concept-based now? Or how would you describe what New Langton shows? In your own words.
In my own words. I would say more cutting-edge, experimental, conceptual installation often applies. Being a nonprofit gallery, I'm going to have the luxury of not having to obey the laws of the commercial art world. So you end up being able to allow this or have this space where artists are able to experiment a little more, do something that they wouldn't do in other spaces. And we've had a change in directorship over the last year, which is a breath of fresh air in the space. It's been really great. So we're
who took over it, if you don't
Sandra
mind?
Sandra Percival is her name.
Yeah.
She came from London from the Public Art Development Trust. So we're taking on bigger projects, off-site projects, and dabbling in commercial art world, but still like this exhibition, Five Habitats, just opening the space up and letting artists do what they want.
Yeah. And you just got a bunch of space back, no, from SF Camera Work moving out of your building.
Right. We were sharing the space, which we'll get their office was quite small, so we'll get a little extra storage space. But what's really great is just not having to share the exhibition space any longer. And hopefully being able to build our audience base, because there'll be less confusion as to who is in the gallery.
All right. One question that I wanted to both ask you guys about, and I think that you both have a pretty close pulse on, is, and I mean especially you, Justin, I mean, because you have a gallery in the Tenderloin.
TL.
What's it like in, you know, New Langton being right on Folsom and kind of a nastier strip? What's it like having fine art galleries in that kind of neighborhood?
Well, for me, you know, being in the Tenderloin, I originally sought out a space in a shitty neighborhood because I knew it'd be cheap. And I knew that if I was able to keep my costs low, my overhead, specifically the rent, if I could keep that low, that I'd be able to stay open regardless of slow months. And it's worked. I wish I was in a better neighborhood with more foot traffic, with rich people, but I still love the Tenderloin because it's really edgy and it definitely is kind of a reflection of my personality. So I kind of fit in there really well, and it's just the rent's cheap.
No. Jennifer, what about you?
Edgy, yes. We get to keep our finger on the pulse being in these neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Get to step over people on our way to work.
Yeah.
Pulse clean up
being
after them.
Homelessness and crack dealing. The pulse of the streets.
One of my favorite artists, Justin, works with you guys. His name is Kim Kogan. Tell us a little bit about what he's got going on with you guys.
Let's see. Kim Kogan first showed in White Walls Gallery in November of last year in a group show. Did really well. We got him to do a solo show in May, just a few months ago at White Walls. That was amazing. Sold like 85% of the paintings.
And he had like, what, like 30?
32.
Jesus.
Yeah, and it looks like we've got a show lined up for him next year in New York City, which is going to be, hopefully will be pretty big. And just Kim, he's an amazing artist. He's very talented. He reminds me a lot of Diebenkorn, kind of in the middle of his career. With the brushstrokes and the abstract work that he's doing, but it's done in such a way. I'm not a fan of abstract art at all.
Oh, really?
But every once in a while, somebody does some abstract work that I really, really do appreciate. It's got to be done really well, and if it's not perfect, it's for me, it doesn't work.
It's crap.
It's crap, yeah. But that's my personal opinion. It doesn't mean that abstract art is crap. It's just, for me, it is. But Kim is just, he's such a talented guy. He's a really good guy, and he just has a very strong vision for what he's doing, and he's very good at nailing a painting and making it exactly the way it needs to be. And so far, everyone's fallen in love with his work, and he's done really, really well.
Yeah. What, Jennifer and Justin both, what do you guys look for when you're out on the streets, like looking at art in San Francisco? I mean, this city's busted with art. And what really turns your knobs as far as art goes?
One of my favorite projects of recent took me out of the city and down the I-5. It's called Invisible 5. And it's basically an audio project, a collaboration. One of the lead artists was Amy Balkin. And it starts in San Francisco, and you basically download a series of excerpts based on the landscape, so that when you're driving, you're prompted by an exit along I-5, and you listen to this excerpt that has to do with the environment and has to do with the deterioration of the environment, the air, and the quality of life down that corridor, I-5. It's pretty terrifying.
Really?
About halfway, I started rolling the windows up. Pretty afraid of the air I was breathing.
Do you remember any of it?
I mean, there are stories from people who live there. It starts in Hunter's Point, which is a great place to start. And stories about a field of tires, disposed tires, that is, I don't know, enormous, millions of tires, that some guy had land and he just started charging people a dollar to dispose of their tires, and they caught fire. Yeah, chemical wasteland. So stories like that, and the repercussions, and you know, people attesting to birth defects due to waste that's been deposited. So it was really interesting. So I look at a lot of art, but I tend to be drawn to social or politically engaged work. So that really fit the bill.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Mm-hmm. What about you, Justin? What have you been looking at?
I rarely get out. I'm kind of on a 6 to 7 day work schedule at the gallery most weeks, so I don't unfortunately get to get out as much as I like and see. I don't even get to the opportunity to go to too many art openings usually, so unfortunately I don't get out to see much. My source is usually the internet and word of mouth. But when I do get the chance to leave, I usually go to another city to try and check out other artists, because I have a pretty good idea of what's going on here in San Francisco usually. So I usually like to go to LA or New York or like Miami to try and check out new artists, because I never get a chance to see them.
Yeah. So you represent artists from San Francisco and other places in the nation?
Yeah, well, I represent artists from San Francisco, all over the country, and then I think about like 10 or a dozen like international artists. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it kind of keeps my hands full. But
you were working, or still are working, with Shepard Fairey, no? He just had talk about a crazy sellout show.
Yeah. We just did a show with Shepard Fairey. It was a solo show at White Walls in April. And we sold 88 pieces and the mural that he did. So it was...
You sold that big-ass mural?
Yeah. This guy...
I gotta ask.
It was $20,000. He this couple took out a bank loan from their bank to buy it, and they put it in their loft. It's pretty cool. But we sold 88 pieces. It was the most successful show that Shepard's ever had. It was the most sales. It was the most money he's ever made. So he was really, really happy. Obviously, we were really happy. You know, Shepard has a really big following here in San Francisco. Obviously, he has a following everywhere, but in San Francisco, he's got a really big following. And, you know, we kind of expected it to do well. You know, we didn't expect it to do that well. We were all kind of surprised. But, you know, Shepard's a great artist. He's a really nice guy. He's very intelligent. And, people were going nuts. People were getting angry with us at the gallery because we didn't have anything to sell them. So we had to keep calling Shepard's office to send us, they just kept shipping us more art from other galleries that had stuff. And then we just kept selling and just kept selling. And we actually, we only have 2 pieces left.
Get them now.
Is that indicative of the art buying market right now, you think, or just
Shepard Fairey? No, I don't think it's unfortunately it's not the norm with artists like Shepard Fairey, who already have a pretty huge following and are kind of famous. That is the case, but I think right now, for me, it kind of seems that art is going to a place where people that are in their 30s and 40s, who, whether they've been making a lot of money or not, they might be making a lot of money now, but their taste in art is completely different from 10 to 15 years ago of what people their age were interested in. And now there's obviously an alternative art that's available for people, and I think they're excited about that, and so they're buying more art than they normally would if it was just landscapes, still lifes, and fucking bronze sculptures.
Right.
Not that I have a problem with any of that stuff. It's just not my thing. And I think that people are really excited about art right now because there is something new and different. And it's it speaks to people, whether, you know, in a good way or a bad way, or whether it's mature or immature. It's just something different, and I think that really matters to a lot of people. Art has been pretty stale and stagnant for a long time.
I think that both New Langton and the Shooting Gallery touch on that. New Langton definitely with more conceptual-based stuff, and you guys are going to be highlighting one of my personal favorite curators and artists, Joseph Del Pesco. Mm-hmm. Do you you want to talk a little bit about what Joe does? And
well, I won't talk much about Joe, but some of the group of artists that he invited, I'll just mention one of the projects that's going to happen that week. It's been our 30th year, so we've gone back through the archive a lot. We've been digging back through the archive and bringing up all kinds of really interesting projects that have happened in the past 30 years. And the Independent School of Art was one of the artists that Joseph asked to participate. So they, in turn, were interested in our archive and gravitated towards a series of black and white photographs. There are about 100 from the first few years of Langton. Their documentation, it's documentation of performances, installations, things of that sort. So their goal in the week that they'll be there is to recreate the documentation. So not necessarily recreate the event that happened, but do casting calls to find people who look like the people in the photographs.
They're going to recreate them, yeah.
They're
going to
recreate it, yeah. There is one postcard with a cow, and I'm just terrified that they're gonna bring a cow in the gallery.
Steep stairs, but, you know.
That sounds exciting, actually.
Yeah.
Can you invite us?
Do you want to come that day? I'd love to have you. You want to help clean up?
Yeah, how much do cows shit? They shit a lot, don't they?
They probably do, and they just do it whenever they want.
Yeah. Some people, too.
Yeah.
There's really no telling. So that sounds good. Independent School of Art, they work with NPR as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they have a show. This is 88.9 FM, Neighborhood Public Radio. You can listen on the radio or stream it live at conceptualart.org/NPR. There's a shitload of people out front, and there's a barbecue, and they're going to be spinning records, what have you. And we're live here with Jennifer McCabe and Justin Giarla. from New Langton and the Shooting Gallery, respectively. So one thing that people think about in... I think you guys both have a fairly close grasp of this. When they think about San Francisco, is obviously the Mission School, and what that means, and whether that's dead, whether people are tired of hearing about it, or whether it's in full bloom, second, you know, Phoenix, what have you. What's your guys' take on it? They're both staring.
Mission School?
There's a school in the Mission?
There is.
You know, I think... I think it was probably in its peak at the end of last year. Not to say that it's on its way down or anything like that, but I definitely kind of feel that it's possibly hit a plateau. I think now that it's hit its plateau, its zenith, it's probably going to evolve and spread out into different kind of different arms of that particular movement. I'm not a huge fan of it. There's some that I like. There's some that I don't like. I'm not a huge fan of deconstructive art, which I think is most of the Mission School art. But I don't know. I think it's going to be around, but I think it's just going to shoot off in a bunch of different directions, and it'll still be around.
Yeah.
I think it's on its way down.
Dead, dying,
down.
A dagger in its back.
You know, it's the kind of thing, once you can classify it as such and characterize artists as coming from that school, it becomes less interesting somehow. So I think artists will feel that. I mean, maybe people in other parts of the country will still be interested in buying it, which will propel it forward.
We're definitely in the book phase of it now.
Right.
Right.
I think there have already been a couple books on it.
Right.
Exactly. You know, whether it might not be the big thing here anymore, but it'll probably be the big thing in LA, New York, and a couple other places around the country, and it'll still be there.
Speaking of books, let's talk a little bit about 9mm books and what the hell that is.
Let's see. 9mm Books is a publishing company I started roughly, gosh, I think it's been about a two years, maybe a year and a half, and I kind of got bored with the shooting gallery, and things were going good, so I figured I'd throw another wrench in my works and start another venture that kind of tied me down like a ball and chain. But 9mm Books is, you know, it's a publishing company for artists that I show at the shooting gallery and now at White Walls. I'm in my production of my fifth book, which is on Sass Christian, which will be coming out in October during her opening reception, October, I don't know, 14th. And it's just another way for me to promote the artists that I show at the shooting gallery and to get behind them and show that I really believe in what they do. I love their work, and I think more people need to see it. And then also the other thing with books is that not everybody can afford to buy a $4,000 painting, but if they like an artist, they can buy a $40 book. You know, and books are an extremely easy way to get into venues, other countries that you wouldn't normally be in. It's a way to get into more houses around the country or the world with a book. You know, again, it's so much easier to attain a book than it is, you know, a painting. And so for me, it just kind of seemed like a natural evolution to start publishing books.
How many books do each of you guys own, art books? For real?
Way too many.
You're like one.
I just moved.
You're like gardeners. That's it.
I burn all of my art books, actually. A couple hundred, probably.
Yeah. What's that, like a good wall worth? Or?
No, they're not even in a wall. They're in stacks in my living room and like with my speakers on top of them. And they're stacks on the coffee table. They're in boxes. They're upstairs in the gallery on the floor. And they're all over the place. I can't even keep track of them.
Jennifer?
I've moved too many times to accumulate that many books. Yeah. Mine are all in boxes right now, so I can say I have five small boxes.
That's not bad. That's good.
That's not bad.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What role do you think the internet plays in that, though? I mean, how often do you guys, like, let's break it down. How often do you spend on the computer per day, both of you?
Five hours, maybe 6 hours.
I would say 6 to 7. Too many.
Do you like it?
Depends on the day, though. You know, it's great. There are days where you're not around the computer at all. But
If I'm selling stuff, I like it. if nothing's happening, then it sucks.
How big of a role do you think email plays now in the art world? I mean, because it used to be like, you know, what people, you know, you'd send out mailers, a million mailers every month. But now what's it like?
I think it helps out a lot. I would probably say it's at least 50%. People still want to get a postcard. They still want to get a hard copy, you know, picture, painting, photograph for their refrigerator or to stick on a wall or to save as little mementos of a show. People really do still appreciate that. And I think that people appreciate it when a gallery still goes that extra little bit, even though it's something that's always been done. I think people still appreciate it when a gallery does that. Email is obviously great because it gets out to a lot more people and it's free. You know, it's like the internet. Without the internet, I don't know how galleries stayed open without the internet, to be honest with you, back in the day.
God, those people, savages.
Typewriters. Yeah, I don't know.
What about yourself? Email and
we send out mailings, yeah. But people love email reminders, or maybe they don't. Maybe they'll call in and say, "Hey, quit sending those damn emails."
I get people all the time asking me to remove them from my email list, and of course I don't.
How frequently do you email?
Twice a month.
Yeah, that's not bad.
It's not bad. What about LinkedIn? How often?
We've been emailing a little more frequently because we have weekly changing shows right now.
Yeah, well, that's good. If you've got something going on,
typically
you should
once
be
a month.
Yeah,
but.
So on a completely different note, what have you guys been doing around town outside of the art world? How much do you think about stuff outside of the art world? For real.
I don't really know if I think about anything outside of the art world too often except drinking beer and barbecuing and what vacation I'm going to take next.
Vacations involve art?
No, never.
Good.
Never.
No business versus pleasure.
No.
Jennifer?
My vacations always involve art, but I don't have the luxury of going on vacation often, so I have to integrate them.
When was the last time?
I went to Austin recently just to visit friends. Next week I'm going to Mexico City, which will be great. Around town, I went to the farmer's market today.
That's
highly
vacation.
Recommend that. Yeah.
This is 88.9 FM, and you're live here with Frank Prattle, Zephyr, Justin Giarla, and Jennifer McCabe from the Shooting Gallery in New Langton, respectively. We're just about done, but I wanted to ask you just a few more questions, which are not coming to mind immediately. what was it? Sylvia G, that's who I wanted to ask you. What's going on with her stuff? Because her stuff is going through the roof.
Yeah, Sylvia G is an artist that also shows at White Walls.
And the Shooting Gallery.
And the Shooting Gallery as well. But she's represented by White Walls. See, we started showing Sylvia last year in December. Sylvia's from Sacramento, still lives out there in the blazing heat, unfortunately. I'm sure she's dying today. But Sylvia is this amazing kid, and I say kid because she's not even 21 yet.
Are you serious?
It's not even funny. She's 20. Maybe she's 21. She just turned 21, but she's a kid, and she's amazing. And every time we sell out her work, every time we have it. No surprise, it's amazing work. It's reminiscent of, old French Nouveau, some deco in there. It's beautiful stuff. It's pretty hot.
One of the themes that I've definitely been noticing in more modern art is the combination, and maybe this is just San Francisco, but probably New York as well, the combination of humans with animal creatures. Have you been noticing that? What the hell is going on?
Yeah, there is more and more of that. I think it has something to do with PETA protesting that there weren't enough animals in artwork or something like that. So, artists kind of, gave in and started putting more animals in their stuff.
I don't know if they use animals according to PETA law. I don't know.
What about...
I've seen animals and people in compromising positions, so...
What about the artist that you guys have up right now who photoshopped all the screaming baby heads with
Fantastic,
blood
huh?
on top of, like,
A lot
bears?
Of machine guns.
Who is that again?
Kay Simmons. And Calvin Trias,
yeah.
They're Art Institute students, and they did this amazingly ambitious project on a leaning wall that we now have in the gallery, which is one of the spaces, and they just photo-montaged bazillion images.
And I think it's literally a bazillion.
A bazillion. Yeah. There's a pair of binoculars there, so you can get the details of everything, but it's definitely... a battle taking place.
I think there was one with Rosie O'Donnell
connected
to a walrus.
Oh,
I think there was that. I don't know.
That might have been it.
Yeah.
What's he trying to imply?
I didn't say anything. Really. So just quick for the listening audience, what are you guys' websites again?
NewLangtonArts.org.
ShootingGallerySF.com, WhiteWallsSF.com, and 9mmbooks.com.
All right. Thank you guys so much for being
Thanks
on
for having us.
Frank Prattle.
Thank
and
you, Zephyr.
We'll see you soon, I hope.
You will. Sorry.
I was sorry.